Hello and welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. Hi, I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Home Building Hero. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Today's topic, investment in home building and remodeling, continues to increase. All right, we are looking at some national data that has come out and just kind of looking at overall spending trends and money that consumers are investing into the home building and real estate market compared to previous years, just to see kind of where things are at. Obviously, we knew that the latter half of 2020 was a very strong year for home building, for real estate, and for home improvement based on, you know, the need for more at home with the pandemic. So we knew that, but it's like, what's going on now? How did that all shake out, and what's kind of the trend going forward for that? So we're going to kind of look at that information. And we're also going to look at another study that talks a little bit about the number of bedrooms that people put in a home and how that's changed as well. So kind of interesting stuff. A lot of new data points starting to come out, you know, just with the shift that we've had, a seismic shift here in construction, real estate, based on the pandemic. And it's interesting to see kind of how that works. Then we'll also dive into real briefly a few commercial things that we've seen as well, because it all ties together. It's pretty interesting. So with that, let's get started. So National Association of Home Builders recently analyzed construction spending data. And they've seen that at least as of August of this year, 2021, construction spending is still rising. It went up another 0.4% in August to nearly $786.6 billion in spending. That's a lot of lot of money and very high-powered factor in the economy. Now, you may say, well, it only went up 0.4%. That doesn't seem like a lot, but it's been going steadily up almost throughout the past year. And other than July of this year was the first time it went down in a while, went down 0.2%. And that makes sense, because what I was noticing too from our industry is June and July, the phone stopped ringing. And the reason, at least by us, it did is that school got out, the mandates were pretty much over, the CDC removed the mask mandate, and everybody went traveling. They went up north, they went down south, they hopped on an airplane for the first time in many years. So there was a lot of travel, and people were taking long awaited vacations and getting away. So that pulled away, I believe, from construction spending by quite a bit. That's definitely something that I noticed. But again, we've seen some increases in the spending over the last year. And overall, a year ago to today, that spending has went up over 24% on construction, remodeling, all those kind of things for single family. So spending is way, way up. That's a huge increase. So even when you go up 24% in a year and then you're still going up here in August by a small percentage, that's a good sign. That means that people are still investing in their homes, doing projects, upgrading, because, you know, again, there's still some limitation as far as what you can do. And, you know, it's interesting, because before that, before COVID hit, construction spending was on a pretty steady decline and started to increase a little bit, but we've seen huge increases in the last year. So for example, and this makes sense, construction spending, you know, peaked in about 2005, and then it went way down all the way to the bottoming out in 2011, 2012. That was sort of the big part of the housing recession that we saw, the bubble bursting. And then it started to steadily increase for a little while, from 2012 to a little bit around 2017. And then it kind of took a dip, started to go back up a little bit in 2019. And then near the end of 2019, the first part of 2020, it cratered again, and then now it's shot back up, and it's at the highest level that we've seen, at least since the 2000s. So very high level of construction spending. So that's a good sign. What's also interesting with this study is they sort of break out single family, multifamily, and just home improvement spending, just to see kind of where that shakes out. And what's interesting here is that the home improvement section really did bottom out. That was while home building was still kind of going up pretty steadily all throughout 2017 to 2021. It's going up pretty steadily, other than the first half of 2020 when the pandemic hit. The remodeling part went way down. It was actually starting to go down from 2017 all the way through 2019, and by quite a bit. I mean, it's almost the reverse, like an inverse of what was happening with new construction. So people were stopping remodeling. They were getting out of those remodel projects and just buying a new home instead. And now that has shot up incredibly, and it's almost at the same level as new construction. And I attribute that to one factor and one factor only. You know, the reason that it's almost the same level as new construction now is simply because there just isn't enough inventory out there for people to switch or buy a new home. So now they're just taking what they already have and trying to make it work, updating it, adding rooms, finishing basements, those kind of things to try and make their existing home kind of fit what they're looking for. Okay, so that's pretty interesting when you look at that. The other thing that this study looks at is non-residential spending. So this would be like commercial stuff. So they tracked how that is, and that has declined quite a bit. There's actually a 1% decline this year, and a almost 2.3% decline year over year. And again, that makes sense as well, because if you think about commercial, people were told to stay home. A lot of people still working from home. So why would companies spend and invest a lot of money in new buildings, new facilities, when, you know, they don't even have the people there to work? In fact, I'm kind of surprised that number isn't even higher. I think a lot of those places are just kind of putting things on hold and kind of waiting and seeing. You're seeing some growth in sectors where, you know, you need more people. Obviously, as people are staying home, you need more you know, home goods and things like that. So people, you know, are spending more at home goods stores, Home Depots, Lowe's, Menards, furniture stores. You're seeing a lot of spending as well just on consumer staples, you know, food, toilet paper, all those kind of things, right? So those areas are still expanding, and that's probably where you're seeing some of that growth as well. But as they track, this is kind of interesting. So the big three for non-residential construction spending were power. So updating power grids and things like that. A lot of work on that. The second thing is manufacturing. So upgrading manufacturing. I think we're seeing that the economy is doing well. A lot of demand for product. Obviously, supply chain is a big issue. And then the one that actually is way down is commercial, and that makes a ton of sense because, let's face it, people were working from home. Why invest in commercial? In fact, I think a lot of people are converting commercial properties to residential apartments and things like that to help with the housing crunch. So that'll be interesting to kind of monitor as well going forward. But the other thing that is very interesting is what they're looking at as far as single-family homes, and one of the trends that's happening with single-family homes over the last year, year and a half, and this is the number of homes built with four or more bedrooms. Now, you would think that would be somewhat consistent over time, but it's really jumped since 2020. And they just did a Census Bureau study, and the share of homes with four or more bedrooms has dramatically increased. Almost 3%, not quite, but almost 3% in that short period of time. So it's never really increased that much at one point, but That's what's interesting about this. And again, this is very pandemic related. Think about it. You may not necessarily need a fourth bedroom, but if you're out there buying a home or you're going to build a home, a lot of people are putting that extra bedroom in, not necessarily because they're going to make their families larger, but I think a lot of people are using that fourth bedroom as a home office or something of that sort. And of course, they probably don't want to fully commit to making it an office, so they make it a bedroom. And the reason that they do that is that, one, for resale value, a four-bedroom typically does sell higher. But then, two, you know, I think they're looking at this short-term, like, okay, you know, work from home for a year, need that extra room, and then, you know, we can always convert this into a bedroom if it's not working from home anymore. And that way, kind of keep the home value up. So I think people are looking at this from, you know, a different perspective and saying, you know what, we'll just make an extra bedroom out of this. That way, you know, we'll get the most bang for our buck out of it. So I think a lot of people are looking at it from that standpoint. I think additionally, people just want more space. So that extra room could also be other things too, besides a home office. People are stuck at home more. They're doing hobbies and different things at home. So that makes a lot of sense as well. So this study actually cites a few reasons for why four-bedroom homes are on the rise. And, you know, we obviously talked about the economic effects of COVID, and I think that's probably the main reason. But they're also citing low interest rates, so people can afford more homes. So why not? If you can afford more home, put an extra bedroom in. And then also the low housing supply, you know, that kind of takes out the first-time home buyer. And most people that build are not a first-time home buyer. So first-time home buyers might buy a three-bedroom home, whereas a you know, more seasoned home buyer that's been in the market would buy a four-bedroom home just because, again, for resale value, it tends to be higher. They also are spending more money, and they can afford that four-bedroom home. Additionally, they tracked the Mortgage Bankers Association applications, and they've seen that there's been a pretty large increase in the average loan size of all mortgage purchases. So the size of the mortgages has also increased, and that makes a lot of sense as well because, again, those type of homes have went up in price. I mean, the cost of new constructions went up, the value of existing homes went up, so therefore the amount of mortgage that people are taking out has went up as well. And the rates are low, so people are borrowing more and taking advantage of those low rates. So that just makes sense based on the whole economics of everything. And, you know, it's pretty interesting as you look at this, they actually studied this as well across the whole country. So they looked at all sorts of different markets from the New England area market, the Middle Atlantic market, East North Central, West North Central, South Atlantic, East South Central, West South Central, and the Mountain and Pacific areas of the country. So they studied all these different areas. And they graphed it out, and it's funny because it bottomed out in 2019 for four-bedroom homes, and then ever since, they've all shot up almost exactly. Like, it's just crazy how it's consistent throughout the country, that every market is seeing a bigger growth in those four-bedroom homes since the end of 2019. So seeing a lot more demand for bigger, larger homes, whether people are cohabitating, that could be another thing that's not mentioned in the survey, but a lot of different things going on there, and it's interesting to see that. Last but not least, they also broke out the single family built for rent. So if you're not familiar with that, that's where somebody just builds a home and just rents it right away. There is no home buyer. It's a rental property, more or less. Those are the exception to the rule. Those are the only ones that are not really built as four bedrooms. 87% of those are basically a three-bedroom or less setup. So that makes a lot of sense because they're basically glorified apartments. Again, they're new homes. However, their intent is to be rented. So typically, you know, two or three bedrooms is what you're going to see there for those type of homes. And again, those are being built like crazy right now because interest rates are low. So it's a vehicle for investors, whether it's a single investor or a company to come in and make some steady income with with the demand for housing being so high. Those are easy to fill, and the economics of it work right now because the rates are low. If rates go up, I think we'll see that drop off pretty dramatically, but we are seeing a lot of those as well. So overall, construction spending is going up. Focus on four-bedroom homes, as we've seen, and looks like, at least for a while longer, construction spending is still going to be very strong and a big part of the economy.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. And before you leave, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon.